I asked George how he wanted to know could he pick a poem from his read. So I said, go on, boy, pick anything you like. So out of the contents list of my book, he picked this one, The Bassfish. And strangely enough, I wrote it in cork with sherry. So it was a cork poem, 28 feet tall, just by looking at the title. Anyway, it's called The Bassfish. Casting out, I hope, for a bass. Cause this evening a woman's coming and I'm cooking. She lifts something in my heart. She's new to these parts, which is why I want to catch the bass to thrill some aphrodisiacal mood. I hope maybe she'll make her want for me and wish for me, and if she wants a man, there aren't too many in the village, and none of them can fish like I can. I cast afresh, awaiting a bass, smile to myself at our chats in the pub. So far, she's mighty interesting. She tells the life she used to live in a shitty city. I laugh with my final cast, long for a bass. I never knew what her husband used to, going to the supermarket to fish on payday. Stupid man wonders now why she left, which is just my luck. Just my luck. Thank you very much. This one is.
Well, that's fine. That's fine.
So, yeah, just going the one and then never done. We have to limit it to one poem. I was doing my carry in it, not too late.
Well, she's never the vacate on that fairly. I get it, I was telling you about Australia, you can almost assure it all. So I'm going to read you an Irish in honour of Sean, who has just read for us. I've only recently written it, so I haven't done the translation yet. It's about finding a hare in my garden, and it had somebody was stealing my apples. Guria. Nireb Ula Riev Rolusha Kansa, a diary lum board and scot of Heru. Ne cower da antre oil poil agus oil, oven of lint at Tagaha con bohel, sabordin a pool of tea. Is minic a ekum a maka on mish, or her he a lean mochri le kahul, um la, a su, a yakoma, a na, bala con blash agus alp, main smack out the condomish. Lois and Rian of Dukia Tarfall, Kamula Kura Garagay Call, the Crown in a Lee Fair Crown, Ramana Winter, Grenier to Us, Fay Mario Viaka Gaveni. Kavi Agira Makishta Aguil, Umbardin, Fay Hul Magrena, Alas and Duels, the Quills, the Knoll, Spare Van Lound Up, the Frontless Dom, No Nahar, a Hor Mahon. On Magian Dar Jun, the Enfragra Agon, Kahaho Mama, the Goat of Brass Jun, a heave a curry McCart, the quick cracking for dear or dear, the hammer on Wanger and Yonka.
Words are there to be taken, hidden in time's fog. I seek them constantly. There's a moon on the bog. Lost in ancient books and remembered there, blindly I can see them, but they don't see my stare. Alas, it is only a dream. My imagination thrills to a grassless body, the wind sighing on windless hills, howling for life. And I am a woman, icebound. O ancient force, give me the code to this unhealing wound. Thanks.
I'm just after finishing the book there by Stephen Hawking, you know, he wrote the Brief History of Time. So his latest book is The Grand Design, so it's the latest answers to the universe and where the universe comes from and all that. So I suppose the latest theory is M theory, I think. So in M theory there's there's 10 dimensions instead of 3. There's billions of universes existing at the same time as we're here, and a universe can spontaneously come into existence out of nothing. So I didn't understand it, but I suppose even if I did, it kind of leaves you with a lot of questioning still, and a lot of it's unsatisfying. So I suppose this poem is about that book really, and about maybe sometimes I suppose we as humans are always looking for a reason for things and a cause for things. Maybe there isn't always a cause or always a purpose. And this is the poem. Evidence. There is no evidence for reason. Why is a word for children part of the parents' toolkit? Scrambling to explain the purpose of things, the beginnings, the ends. But in stepping backwards, the unobserved past becomes blurred, till all we see are shadows, grasping at an answer, hoping for resolution. 7 other dimensions, fluctuations in the vacuum, the Big Bang. Our brains are built to ask questions, resolve actions and reactions, see cause in everything, see time as progress, an arrow aimed at a target it was never going to miss. But the world was once flat and had to have edges. How else would water stain? Imagine no arrow or bow, no archer or target. Time without edges. We're still searching for reasons, still asking each other's questions, though there is no evidence.
Strangers. From this heart of yours I care no longer to abide. By your side there is no comfort of a kind, nor an ideal, nor a perfection claimed. In these eyes I find no eternal fire. I want to record the momentous days passing with a failing hand. I see your reader report how we felt and what we shared. The only difference there will ever be are the two people formed into you and coupled by this wisdom. by same wisdom it was never meant to be. Whatever virtue you had, I missed it all. Neither you nor I cared about the other to care about past, present, and future, how we lived, how we died. If the breath that passed through his bloodless lips should cease to occupy you. So let me not who wails helplessly as I fail against the pricks and the posts of a quest, self-tubes are an exception. Perfection is a strange thing. Strangers then as now, for as long until time itself dies. Twins wrist, yes, but only by his chopping fingers. Thank you.
Leading, moving on, trying to feel firm and be strong so as not to fall and lose it all. Keep strong, relax, don't feel alone or have a freak attack. Everything will work out soon, everything will sit right back.
Completion is over. August Rab is on.
This is a kind of old poem, and I don't necessarily feel this way anymore. But at the time when I wrote it, it was the most important thing. So. The loneliest man in the world. I thought you loved me. That's how it felt when I was with you. I sensed a freshness of hugs, smiles and happies. A wanting to grasp life and run with it. And fear. Terror at the turn your life had taken. With zero immunity, everything and everybody could attack you. And you thought they wanted to. At times I found it impossible to talk to you, to communicate without further ado just how much I liked you. But that was okay, it was more than cool, because sometimes I acted like a total fool, jumping in with both feet, ignoring my intuition as to the fragility of your condition. I made lots of noise and was indiscreet. Still I learned and I grew, gathering experience and knowledge with each step along the way that I spent with you. I was going to write seem to spend with you, but I knew that I was being true by trusting my feelings and loving you. I still do. And that's why I'm the loneliest man in the world.
This kind of like, I've ever found something and like, you can't appreciate it because it's not really yours, so no matter how valuable it is, it doesn't really mean anything to you. It's called a finding. As I walk a trot on trot, head full of consuming thought, I pass through the gate. What should I find there in the grass, propped up like a sailor's mast with a feathered note of 20? I stoop down low to take my fill, as all of a sudden the night seems still. I held it in my pocket. And as I walked on by and by, how it lingered on my inward eye, and made me feel a little empty. That's an hour's work for some, a day's for someone else. On and on, a little numb, unsure of how I felt. What I have now, I have not earned. Just paper, really, what's its worth? How the wind might have blown it first. But there was comfort in fate. Was it my luck to come across and take joy in someone's loss? The answer I did not know. Though I sat in the room quite uneasy, oh how this luck had made me queasy. I had felt the owner's horrid state. Looking around in a frantic panic, fighting a battle quite titanic, the owner I must find. Now how my pocket weighs me down. A room of faces I look around, faces I must ask. Has anyone lost money here? Their faces blank, my heightened fear. I've a dog with a bone no one seems to own. The money's mine, one perceives. To him I gave it, much relieved, my burden gone at last. So there I sat in a crowded room, but now new thoughts does my mind consume. Perhaps how nice that money would be. Where and when may I have found, and saw nothing when I looked around, just to see. Nothing in this life is free.
Thank you, Ron. I could say in the possibility.
This is called Endure, and it's dedicated to Fabian. To devolve is divine, and to shed. To obliterate I, to not assuage life, to not lessen living, to believe in what only you can see, to debase oneself knowingly, to be terrified and endure, to choose to be the wild dog in love with the moon.
Thanks very much. I did have two poems for you, but seemingly the rules don't allow for indiscretion, so I'll move on to the one that I prefer to be. Have you been baptized? You can call it what you want. So it starts with a quote from Shakespeare, from Macbeth, Act 5, Scene 5. Life is but a walking shadow, a poor player that struts and frets his hour upon the stage and then is heard no more. It is a tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. These lines, hung upon the wall of a friend I once knew, curled in yellow on a stained page at a conspicuous eyeline from the centre of his concave bed. I sit below them now and ponder as to their meaning, not discussing context nor calibre, but more so their angle and presence on the wall at all. The mind is susceptible to subtlety and grace. Before an abyss of banalities, it is wanting to escape. But before such words, it becomes weary and defeated, subdued and dejected, nihilistic in its crown. All words exist, though imputed call a precious life a play. Reduce it to a penitential mockery, where man is already dead, straw head upon a rod, circumambulating the pathetics of a barely dimensional barren hallway, lined with locked doors, all directions leading to the dismal end. I'll not have such lines upon my wall, though Macbeth be a master's play I'd call. For I know my mind to be a strong and delicate swathe of matteries mixed with black and white, light and dark, and my eyes the purveyors of it all. There are elements we cannot adjust, obstacles we cannot outrun, and understandings we have not yet reached, but we must not let ourselves be taken out with the tide. We are the ones in control. We are not the scenes on the screen, but the projectors. That's not me in the sea, so far surviving. I am watching from the sandy shore, screaming silently. I must take those letters down before I believe them and start to drown.